Welcome to Walk in the Spirit, an expository teaching of God's Word. Walk in the Spirit is the audio outreach ministry of Pocatello Baptist Church. It is our prayer and desire that with the help of this message, we all will learn to walk in the Spirit.
Bear with me today. I want to talk about something that's been on my mind for a while. And the idea of this is based off of that's half the church. The idea behind this is I was in a room one day, and there's like 20 of us in this room. And in this room, they're talking about how can we make the business more profitable. And all of a sudden, we went from making the business profitable to talking about credit scores. And everybody pulls out their cell phone, and they go to Credit Karma, and they're comparing credit scores like it's a game. And some of them are sitting there, and some of them start freaking out like, hey, I dropped 20 points. I didn't even buy anything. And I was like, cool, that's interesting. So then the concept came to me when Bev and I and two other people were playing this game at my house, and the game was What If. Has anybody ever played that game? So I pulled the card, and the card said, what if every time you told a lie, you received a black spot? I told Bev I'll be Obama. So then I started thinking about, what if a Christian was a credit score? Well, what's that mean? A lot of us go day by day and we think about our own credit score of, oh man, I need to get this higher so I could get a house. I need this to make sure I pay my payments on time. And we freak out about it and we start thinking about it. And we're like, man, what if I get my credit score up, I could buy the house I want? And it starts becoming in the forefront of our mind. I want to talk about the concept today is, what if a Christian was a credit score? Let's pray. Father, I pray that it'll be you speaking, not me, Lord. I thank you so much for the word of God, Lord, and your grace and your mercy. And Lord, I just need you, Lord, every day. Pray, Lord, that everything I say will be from the word, not my own thoughts. Pray, Lord, that if there's anything distracting us today, Lord, that you'll help us get that out of our mind. Lord, we love you. We need you. And I pray in Christ's name. Amen. What if a Christian was a credit score? We check it all the time. We tend to look at it every day. I know because I see it every day. I'm at work. People are like this. Credit Karma. I'm at 650. I'm at 745. Hey, I'm going to buy a house tomorrow. I got my points up 30 points. What if we started thinking about our Christian life like that? You know, the funny thing about this is when I started thinking, the Bible says that we're going to give an account to God, is if we thought of ourselves as a Christian score, how many of us sit there and analyze how we treat other people, right? How many of you sit there and analyze, like, I can't be late to helping somebody, the same way you thought about paying a payment on a car, or I need to make money to pay this bill so it doesn't show negative on my credit report. How many of us think of our Christian life like that? Like, man, every day that we live and we live on this earth, and every day that we were in front of somebody, we're given an account of how we act. Are you credible? Right? Are you sustainable? Can we trust you? These are the things of a credit score. They use it to tell you if you're credible or not. Can you pay your bills on time? Start thinking about the concept. Can we rely on you? Can we trust you to come through? Do you act as somebody who pays your bills? Do you act like you're a Christian? See, what would your rating be if you had to rate yourself today? Where would you be? Think about it. Hey, young adults, you're going to get there in your life where you're going to go want to get a credit card to put gas in your car, and you're going to say, you don't have enough credit. So then you're going to be going on Facebook like, I can't get a card, no credit. Hey, me and Bev used to look at it like, I'm up 10 points, what's up? I'm beating you. But never have I judged myself towards, am I living the way I should for Christ, and am I credible? What if you had to rate yourself today? Do you take your life as a Christian as serious as you take your credit score? Well, you can't judge that. How do you judge it? That's a great question. Because I thought about it. There's a lot of ways you could judge yourself. Because the Bible does say to examine yourself. But hey, there's only two things I want to talk about today. Two things that I know I need to change. Two things that I know that God's working on me on. Two things that I want people to see me in that light, to see me in the ability to love more and to watch my tongue. Those are the two things I want to talk about today. Because if I don't love you as Christ loved the church, and if I don't love you like I love myself, then how can you trust that I'm real? Or if I don't talk to you like I talk to the people I love, or I don't talk to you in a manner that's appropriate, how can you trust me? How can I be credible? How can I rate myself in that way? Let's talk about love. We talked about this morning. I'm on this love kick. And no, I don't love Lucy. Never seen it. I love my wife. I want to love God more. There's this story I want to tell you. There's a newspaper columnist and a minister, George Crane, tells of a wife who came into his office full of hatred towards her husband. She goes, "I don't only want to get rid of him, I want to get even. Well, before I divorce him, I want to hurt him as much as he has hurt me." Well, Dr. Crane looks at her and suggests and says, "Look, here's what you're going to do. I want you to go home and act as if you really loved him. Tell your husband how much he means to you. Go home and please him, praise him for everything. Tell him he has decent traits. Go out of your way to be kind, considerate, generous as possible. Spare no efforts to please him, to enjoy him, to make him believe that you love him." And he said, "After you have convinced him, then tell him you want to divorce him." Well, she looks at him and she says, "That's a great idea. Beautiful. That's an amazing idea." So the lady goes home. She begins to, for 2 months, love her husband. Tells him how much awesome he is. Is that even a phrase? How much awesome you are? I'm awesome. Goes through and starts listening and caring and going out of her way, reinforcing that he's amazing, that she loves him. So the doctor calls him and like, "Hey, it's 2 months already. I haven't heard from you. Are we still going to go through a divorce?" And she says, "Are you crazy? I realize how much I love him more now than I ever loved him before." Her actions had changed her feelings. Motion resulted in emotion. The ability to love is established not much by fervent promise as often by reported deeds. Love is an action. If I love you, I want to do something for you. If you love God, why not live for him? That's a cool way of putting it. How do we love our brother? The Bible says here in 1 John 4:16, it says that we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Love is an action. Just like that lady went home and started loving on her husband, just as she started telling him how much she realizes he's awesome and how much he means to her. My question to you, Christian, is if you believe that you're saved and you know that you're going to heaven and you know that in your heart, then why aren't we living a life that is loving and love our God? Brother Brett made a good point this morning that's made me think. It starts with this. When you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and you start living a life that is well-pleasing to him, not to man, because listen, you could never please man. Do you understand this? You're going to disappoint somebody in your life. Why? Because they think you should live a life that's like theirs. We go from loving to judging quick. And you know what judging does? Judging does two things. Miss Ross said it. You're going to wake up not reading your Bible and you're going to look at him like, she didn't say like that, I'm prefacing. Like, who's this guy? Why doesn't he pick up his clothes? You're gonna go away from the word and not reading it and not wanting to get closer to God, and you're going to find yourself in a position judging everybody else. The love of God is continuously, like Sir said in the back, unconditional. Hey, how can you rate your love today? Do you love our Savior? If you loved him, then my question to you is this. Just like you do your credit score, when you go and you're like, wow, I didn't pay this bill on time, I need to go fix it. So you get on the phone, you start lying about you paying it on time when you know you didn't. You start hustling on the phone like, hey, I need to get this off my report. I need to buy a car. My question to you is, how do you do that in your life when you know that you're not living for God? You're not reading your Bible. Do you take time to analyze it and say, Lord, I want to get closer to you, so I'm going to read my Bible. I want to get closer to you, so I want to love my wife more, my spouse more, my kids more. I want to get closer to you, Lord, and I want to just get enthralled with what you did for me. Because you know the example of love that I could give you is when he died on the cross for our sins and he bled. That he loved us so much that God himself, and this I have been thinking about this for a long time. He loves us so much that at any time he could have seen it fit, he could have erased us and started over. And he could have took the tree away. And he could have just made us just sit there going around like this. But he loved us so much that he sent a Savior to die for us. And then why are we living that example for other people? Why aren't we loving more? Why aren't we changing the way we act? Changing the way we talk? Wait, why are we telling people about Jesus? Because if you truly love somebody, you're quick to tell everybody like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, Bev got me a new bike. Do I look like I ride a bike? That was an example. But I'm telling you this, we're quick to say the things that they've done for us, right? We're quick to put it on Facebook like, he's the best. And every day Jesus gives us grace. Every day God gives us another day on this earth. Every day he gives us clothes, food, air to breathe. Our loved ones are still around us. And how many of us post about Jesus and look what he's done for me? It's kind of messed up, huh? Kind of crazy. I get things from Wanda and I put it on Instagram. Like, look what my daughter wrote. What's up? 8 years old and she writes a complete sentence with a period. I'm 32 and I can't even put my name right. I have to spell check Google, spell Eddie. We get excited about everything around us, and yet the word of God and God himself, we never tell people about, hey, he got me through another week. Thank you, Lord. Hey, he helped me love my wife more. Hey, me and my wife are going through a phase in our life that I can't wait to come home and tell her I love you. Where's your example? Why is it important? Because the Bible does say that he will judge us on the last day. How many of them know that you're a Christian? But I bet you, if we got in a room together and started eating cookies, that sounds good, cookies and popcorn, and I said, hey, dude, Brother Rich, I got a house. My credit score is 810. We shine it. And yet we're not excited about living a life that's pure for God. Let me give you some examples of what the Bible says about love. 1 Peter 4, 8 and 9. You can turn your Bible there because I didn't know how to do this. And then, yeah. So we're going to use our Bibles today. So, 1 Peter. Sorry, Pastor. All right, 1 Peter 4, 8 and 9. And it says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover what? The multitudes of sin. I don't like him. Okay. Oh, he looks weird. Oh, she's dressed inappropriate. Why don't you love her? And let God change her. Hey, why don't you love one another? And why don't you want to get your life right to the point where people see that it's different? Because you know what the Bible says, that love covers the multitude of sins. What is he talking about? When Christ died on the cross for our sins, he made it so that you and I who are not perfect, can go to heaven through him. It was his blood. It was his shedding of blood that made us so that our sin, if we believe in him, is washed away. That is love. Let's read some more verses because this is cool. Micah, now if you don't know where that's at, I'll just read it to you because it's hard. That's somewhere in the Bible. Somewhere in here. It says, Micah 6:8 says, and he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. I am to the point in my life at 32 years old, yes, I'm still young, that I want to be different. I don't care about my football team because they stink anyway.
Yeah, they're bad. Terrible.
I don't care about my credit score. I just want God to use me for Him. What does that look like? Well, I give my time to them. I pray for them. I do this for Pastor, for you guys. And I work 60 hours a week. I want to love my wife more. Like the story she tells me of her dad loving her mom. I want my kids to grow up to know that dad is going to cheer the loudest for them. I want my kids to grow up loving the Lord. I want to look at somebody and they look at me and be like, he's big, but he's cool. He loves the Lord. But he's big. Hey, I want to be different. And I want my reflection of what God is in my life to look like my credit score. I want it to be that important. I don't want to falter. I don't want to stand there and be okay and average. Because the Bible says, in everything you do it with all thy might. Now, if you believe in what the Bible says, then why aren't we living the Christian life like he wants us to live? Got a couple verses to share with you. John 13, 34 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, and that ye also love one another. I'll reread it. John 13, 34 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Can they tell? Well, how can they tell you got a good credit score? If you're driving a fat new ride, unless you're a millionaire, you got that on credit. You guys know that, right? You have to go in, they check your credit. They don't care what your name is. They don't care how you look. They only care about a number on a paper and how much you make. All right, two things. They care about you making out a number on a paper. Do you love one another? Is it visible? Do you? It's important because I read about love all the time in the Bible, and if God is love and He is, and He wants us to be a mimic of what He is, do we show it? Well, let's touch on another point. How do you treat your family? How do you treat your mom and dad? Hey, how do you treat your neighbor? Are we talking about how they look? Are we talking about what they've done? Are we talking about how they're not coming to church? Or are we proactively going out, searching for them and saying, hey, we miss you? There's a difference, Christian. When we start judging, we're not loving. When we start thinking about, oh, they look. You have now become something that you shouldn't become, because the love of God is not judging. The love of God is going out and bringing them in. Do we love them? Do we miss them? We're missing people. Have we reached out to them? Instead of talking about why they're not here, why not become the problem solver and reach out and tell them you love them? What if a Christian was a credit score? And love was one of the metrics that you had to hit to be up there. How would they rate you? Read some more here. 1 John 4:11 says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. He said that twice. So if God's repeating himself, that means it must be important. In Philippians 4:3-4, it says, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each other esteem each other better than themselves. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. It's an action word. It's you're doing something. It's not always receiving, and you're getting all this from everybody else, but yet you're so selfish you're not willing to give it back. What if the conversation was only one way with me and Bev? She said, Eddie, I love you, and I looked at her like this. Every day. How do you think that would make her feel? Where are you going with this, Eddie? Well, I got a question for you. God has written a perfect book. Who believes that the Bible is real? 100% authority. I do. Who believes that he left us here as an example so that we could grow in Christ? I do. I believe that the Word of God is perfect, unmovable, unchangeable. The only time it changes is when we take it out of context. I believe this to be 100% the foundation of why we come to church, that Christ died for us, that he gave us examples of loving and caring and wars and rumors and famines, and at the end, prophecies. He done all that for us. Yet, he tells us he loves us every day, and we look at the Bible and we do nothing about it. We look at it like, it's like Valentine's Day. It's like you wait all year to tell him on one day you love her. It's like this book, through generation and generation, if you read the history of the Bible, how people used to take pages and run around town and hide them. And they used to die for it. And how I talked to a missionary from China, how he was a Baptist, he just came back. He used to smuggle Bibles into China. They want the word. We have it in front of us. And we're able to read it freely. Do you understand what that means? You're able to turn your Bible to any book and read it out loud. That you're able to sing music about Jesus out loud. Hey, that you're able to live like a Christian in the United States. It's okay. You're allowed to do that. And yet, we stick our nose up on it, and he tells us every day he loves us. How would you know if you don't read it? And then what do you do with the information you have? What do you do with what you know? Well, what's that mean? Okay, yeah, okay. Here's what that means. It means this. You act as if you knew this was right. Well, what does that mean? A changed life. The Bible says that you shall be a new creature. All things are passed away. All things become new. This changes you. If it doesn't change you, you need to reconsider if you're saved or not. I have never not read the Bible and it not cut me in half. I've never not read it and it not changed me. This is a living book. It's real. Every page of this book is put in here perfectly, that it never contradicts itself. It's never false. You want to know that the earth is round? He talks about that he holds a spear in his hand before the guy decided to go and find out for himself. You could have just read this and you could have stayed at home. Right? The love of God, this. Him dying on the cross. What do we do with the information? We don't show it. We don't live like it. And if you were a credit score, how can they judge you? Or see that you're different. The world's looking. I know it's stupid, but they're checking. They think the world's going to end. Okay, if the world's going to end, do you know Jesus? Well, I live in next door to our neighbor. Do they know that I'm saved? Can you tell by my actions? Can you tell by the way I talk to my wife? Can you tell by the way I dress? Can you tell by the music I listen to? Do they know? Do they know that he's changed me? I'm so vocal about everything else that has been done in my life that yet I keep God in a box. And the box is only Sunday and Wednesday. And then when Sunday and Wednesday comes out, I take my box out, I open it, I let God show. Shame on me. The love of God is an action. It's an action word. You love us, he sent Jesus. You love him, you live for him. You love him, and you tell people about Jesus. You read the Bible, you pray. And you separate yourself. Does he not deserve that? If Christ, who died on the cross, died, do you get the beating he took? Do you guys, have you ever read that, the beating he took? When they laid him and they started taking and hitting his back over and over and over again. That wasn't enough that they made him carry his own cross. Torn up, and he hung, and when he was thirsty, they gave him vinegar. Do you guys get that? The suffering that our Christ went to because he loved you. And yet we don't love one another like Christ loves us. And he said in the Bible, he says, hey, let me read it to you. I covered my Apple logo because Pastor said I shouldn't be advertising. He said in John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Will ye also love one another? How did he love us? Read about it. Some of us are so petty that we can't even take 5 minutes to ask them how they're doing. And yet, we believe that Christ died on the cross for our sins, and if he did, which I believe 100% he did, the beating that he took from us was the ultimate love. Christian, what if you were a Christian? Did he judge you by how you love? Let's go to the next one. Our tongue. Woo! This thing gets me in trouble a lot. I thought free will was like, say what you want, dude. Our tongue. I want to tell you a story. A woman once came to one of the old Puritan divines of London and told him that his bands that he wore with his pulpit gown were altogether too long, and that they annoyed her greatly, and she would like permission to shorten them. That lady's crazy. Confident of the way he would act, she had come armed with scissors. The minister mildly said, okay, handed over the robe, offered the bands to the woman, and she started to shorten them according to her taste with the scissors, and then handed the fragments back to the minister. Well, when he received it, he thanked her and said, now, my good woman, there is something about you that is altogether too long, which has annoyed me greatly. And since one good turn deserves another, I would like permission to shorten it. Okay, she says, certainly. Said the woman, you have permission to do so, and here are the shears. Whereupon the worthy divine said, very well, madam, put out your tongue. You talk too much. Nobody cares if you like the robe or not. Keep your comments to yourself. Psalms 114:1 says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the doors of my lips. That's back in Psalms. Psalms 34:13 says, keep thy tongue from evil and the lips from speaking guile. Our tongue, our mouth, the way we say things gets us in trouble. You could love them, but if once you say something that's contradictory, once you lie, once you talk bad about them, your credibility had just went down. Your tongue gets you in trouble. I read this book one. I read a book once. It was called Hung by the Tongue. In this book, this pastor's reading, he goes to James and how the tongue takes you in directions that you don't want to go down. How the way you speak, the way you say things, the things that come out of your mouth, how they could derail you quickly. You guys think of it this way, that the ship could be turned by a little piece in the back of the boat and the whole thing turns. Your tongue could take you a direction that is not pleasing to God. How many times has my mouth gotten me in trouble? How many times do they say, are you a Christian? You talk like that? What happens to your credit score in real life if you don't pay your bills? Guess what? When you click on it and you open the PDF, it says derogatory. Is that the right word, derogatory? You haven't paid? You have a mark on your credit score? Your points just went down 30 points? That house you wanted to buy, now you have to pay back and you have to do 6 months of something? Or you get too out of control and your spending gets out of control and you don't know how to handle money and you have to go bankrupt. Now you have to wait 7 years. What's the point? Your tongue, every time you say something that's not about God, that's not with God, that's against God, it takes you down faster than anything else. The way you talk to people, the way you say things, the way you mention things that come out of your mouth will derail you quick. Your tongue. The way you talk bad about the person that's not in front of you. Oh, I don't do that. You're lying. Because I do it. And I'm perfect. All right, I lied too. I just lied to you twice. The way we say things about our spouse's cooking. Or the way you say things about what they're not doing. The way you talk about pastor and your groups. The way you say things that are not true. Or how about this one? How about this one? Let's do this. How about this? The way you say, I'm going to pray for you, you don't. You're writing a check that your mouth can't cash. Your tongue. A reflection of who you are. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Do you know that everything that we have inside comes out of our mouth? What we talk about is a direct reflection of what we are seeing and doing and reading. Do you guys know that? Let's read verses here. The Bible says in James 1:26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, that man's religion is in vain. Matthew 15:11. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Hey, Christian, what if you were a credit score? How would they rate your tongue? How would they rate how you talk about people? How you talk about the things you talk about in the circle? How would they rate the way you mention one another? Hey, listen, it's not if you believe that Christ is alive and he is, then why are we watching what we say? More people get offended by what we say than anything else. More rumors start because people aren't willing to shut their mouth. More gossiping causes division in churches. More gossiping separates friendships. Our tongue. Oh, did you see what she said? That's the beginning of a problem, ladies and gentlemen. Keep your mouth in check. Keep your mouth. Why don't you talk about something holy, something like even a baseball game? Just talk about something normal. Why does it always have to be about bickering and about lies and about scandals and about, oh my gosh, did you hear what he said? Oh my goodness, he preached that from the pulpit. Why not have the gall to go talk to them in person versus spreading a rumor? Why not wait to see what they say versus believing what you hear? Hey, the tongue defileth. Do they know that you're saved by the way you speak? But what you talk about? But what you write? Well, it doesn't matter, right? He's not talking. Yes, it is. If you sent something on Facebook or a text, you wrote it. Therefore, you said it. What we say impacts us in a great way. You guys know this? The credibility of how you live, what you do. So say this. Say all of us were living a good life, a perfect life, and all of a sudden I came in the parking lot and dropped the F-bomb. What would you think about me? He's unfit. There's no way he could preach the word. Hey, he can't teach my kid. We're quick to do that. But yet in our own life, when we're doing it, we're not examining ourselves. We're not willing to put ourselves in that position and be like, man, I messed up. I wonder who else heard it. Think about it. What you say will come back to you. This is another verse I want to show you guys. Proverbs 10:19 says, in the multitudes of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Think about what you say. Think about what you're talking about. I have been there in my car when I'm frustrated and I yell at my steering wheel loud. I have been there and I said things I shouldn't have said to my wife. It's embarrassing. If you guys would have heard it, you'd be like, that guy's not fit. I have said some things I regret. And every day I'm working towards cleaning it off my record. That the Lord will change me. And that people will see that I speak differently. Or I want to be different. Here's another one. Psalms 52:2 says, thy tongue devises mischiefs like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Christian, watch what you say. You can love somebody, but if you talk bad about them, what do they think about you? If you love your pastor, why not encourage him less? Talking bad about him behind everybody's back. Why not talk about things that are pure and holy? And why not ask him how they're doing versus talking bad about them with somebody else? Why am I repeating myself? Because that's a problem in the church. Not this one. Just saying, I've seen it ever since I've been saved. Every church I've been to, you get little circles, and they're like talking about stuff. And I'm like, I don't even like talking to my wife. I'm not going to listen to this. Watch what you say, because you will lose credibility. But here's the good news. Here's what I've learned. And I've learned this young. Is that just like our credit score, just like right now, if you miss a payment, if you have a bad remark on your account, you know you can fix that. You know when you go get a loan, I don't know if this is true or not, you can ask Rich because he does this. You go get a loan, if you have bad remarks, they'll tell you these are the things you need to do to fix it. And then when you get these fixed, come back. So what I'm telling you is not too late. It's not too late to change. It's not too late to raise your credibility. It's not too late to want to be different. See, we have time to rebuild. We have time to rebuild the things that we've lost. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:22 that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to this deceitful lust. Putting off the old man means that you're willing to give God all of it. That you're willing to ask him to help you. That you're willing to ask him to change you. I can't change you. Brother Roth can't change you. Pastor can't change you. That comes from God. He'll change you. Matthew 6:23 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's the first step, is wanting to seek him first. The first step to getting things right in your life, if you feel like you're derailed, if you feel like you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, is seeking him first. Putting him first in your life. Reading the Bible, praying. Hey, and let's put it into practice. And let's live this Christian life like God wants us to live it. How you act in private is important to you. How you act when nobody's there. What you're watching when nobody's there. What you're reading when nobody's there is important too. Not just in front of people. It starts in your closet. It starts in your house by yourself if you're willing to be different. Because everybody can be fake. You can fake a credit score. Look, I can go to Photoshop, put 850. I don't even think that's a real score. Put 850. Send that to like CarMax. I need a car. We can fake all this. But let me tell you something, Christian. If you fake it at home, they'll know in person. They'll know. It starts by seeking God first. You want to rebuild what you've lost. You want to rebuild the things that you're struggling with. Start with God. Seek him first. James 1, 2, and 4 says, my brethren, count all it joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Oh, there's a verse missing. Sorry, I use this because I can't see the words in my Bible. It's hard to read. Romans 8, 28 says, but we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Instead of using the things that you struggle with in life to bring you down, why not use it so God can use it, for example, for somebody else? If you lost a loved one, maybe there's somebody else who's going to lose a loved one. They need you. Hey, if you're struggling with doing things that you shouldn't be doing, maybe God's going to take that away from you so when somebody else falls into that temptation, somebody else falls into that realm of sin, that they could come to you and be like, hey, I know you struggle with this. Can you help me? The cool thing about being in church is that everybody here has their own story. And they've been through something you've never been through, but when you do go through it, they're there so you can talk to them. It's always, 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 always important to think of two things. Love him more, read about him more, and then live it. What's the point of having a credit if you don't use it? Are you going to rent the rest of your life? You going to pay somebody else's bills? Time that we change. It's time that we live for God. It's time that we put into practice the things that we've learned since we've been in church. What if you were a credit score? How would they rate you today? And if you feel like your credit score is too low, there's time to build it up by seeking him first, by putting him first in your life, by reading the Bible. I want to read this last story to you. And it says here, John W. Gardner, founding chairman of Common Cause, said, it is rare and high privilege to help people understand the difference they can make, not only in their own lives, but also in lives of others, simply by giving of themselves. Gardner tells of a cheerful old man who asked the same question of just about everyone. What have you done that you believe in and that you are proud of? He never asked conversational questions such as, what do you do for a living? It's always, what have you done that you believe in and are proud of? It was an unsettling question for people who had built their self-esteem on their wealth, on their family's name, or their exalted position. Not that the old man was a fierce negotiator. He was delighted when he heard a woman give him this answer. I'm doing a great job raising three kids. And by a cabinet maker who said, I believe in good workmanship and practice it. And by a woman who said, I started a bookstore and it's probably the best bookstore for miles. And you know what he said? He says, I don't really care how they answer, said the man. I just want to put the thought into their minds. They should live their lives in such a way that they can have a good answer. Not a good answer for me, but for themselves. That's what's important. You have, in Romans, when we go back to Romans and read it, we're all going to give a report to God. You have a good answer. Where are you at today? I don't know who you are. I just know this is what I've been struggling with. This is what I've been thinking about. It's how are they going to rate me? What am I doing differently? Do I have a good answer? And that it's never too late. And this is what I've learned being saved for 9 years, that it's never too late to get your life right. That's what I love about being a Christian. I'm a dirty person. Not like weird dirty, like weird dirty. But you know what I mean? I'm a sinner. Weird, that came out weird. I'm a sinner. Saved by grace. And that no matter when I fall, he always takes me out of the miry clay. I get into work. He cleans me. And he's ready for me to start over. I start anew. He's still working on me. And I thank God for it. Don't quit your race because you had a bad week, a bad month, because you don't know how to read the Bible, or some of you overcomplicate the Christian life. Just read, pray, love. Tell somebody about Jesus. Believe. And it starts with this. It's never too late to change. The saddest story is when you hear it all and you don't do nothing about it. It's when you know the truth and you decided in yourself that I don't need to live it. That's a sad story. The cool ones are, he changed me. He taught me to love. He taught me to shut my mouth. He taught me to talk about him. And then when you do struggle, you know I'm smiling because he does it for me every week. He cleans me. And it's okay to be not perfect. It's okay to be, to have sin in your life because he'll take it away. Just don't sit in it. Haven't changed you. Think of your life, your Christian life, like a credit score. And a lot of you are going to leave here today and you're going to check Credit Karma. You probably have the app. He's waiting on you.
Thank you for studying God's Word with us on Walk in the Spirit. To hear more of this or other portions of Scripture, please visit www.PocatelloBaptistChurch.com or you can write us at 190 West Chapel Road, Pocatello, Idaho, 83201. If you live in or are visiting Southeast Idaho, we would like to have you join us here at Pocatello Baptist Church for any of our services. Our service times begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m., Sunday worship at 10 a.m., and Sunday evening study at 5 p.m. We have a midweek study and prayer service for both adults and youth on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Child care is available for all of our services. For more information or directions, please call us at 208-237-4915. Until next time, God bless you as you walk in the Spirit.